This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. This fall, we've been looking at how Afghanistan is faring, 5 years after the Taliban were driven from power. The Taliban government left behind a broken country and an infamous act of destruction, reducing to rubble two colossal Buddhas that had stood for 1,500 years. To find out what had become of the Buddhas, I traveled to Bamiyan, a rough journey over rocky roads to a lovely valley once filled with prayer. 5 years later, it's still shocking to look across the valley and see the two huge empty spaces where the Buddhas once stood. Nowadays, there's plenty of activity at the foot of the sandstone cliffs where Buddhist monks spent decades carving out the giant statues.
Well, we are here at the small Buddha site with 38 meters in total, so not so small at all.
12 stories high, in fact, and the big Buddha was nestled in a space nearly 20 stories high. Georgios Toubekas, Yugi as he's called, is a German architect and professor who spent the last 2 years overseeing a team of Afghan workers collecting fragments of the Buddhas. It's a project of the International Council on Monuments and Sites. A second team, sent by UNESCO, can be spotted clinging to the cliffs. These are Italian engineers.
After the detonations and the destruction through the Taliban, there had been a lot of cracks all around. And they're putting a set of anchors in the cliff to prevent it from collapsing.
We walk from the small Buddha over to the base of the big Buddha. It's a mass of debris. Yugi Toubekas calculates they've now collected and identified two-thirds of this statue.
Yeah, so these are the halls, the storage halls for the fragments of the big Buddha. Bigger Buddha, bigger fragments. If you look closely, you see the left foot of the big Buddha, maybe 35 tons. And the other ones, they are behind me in these shelters, which now have been closed for winter. But there is a door, we can go inside. Yeah, what we see here, the surface remains of the big Buddha.
Standing here in this room, they look like just big boulders. Any possible way of knowing where most of them actually go?
It's just a matter of time to study them. And if you maybe look to this piece there, maybe you remember the pictures of the Buddha, a very fine garment that he was dressed in, very delicate folds of the garment. This was constructed by making holes exactly in the way that later the fold should fall. And then afterwards, this was plastered, even painted. And you are right, it looks like a collection of boulders, but the opportunity is not lost to make something out of it. Because the people here, I think they deserve it, that this part of their culture, of their history, is protected and invested in.
It is known how glorious these statues once were, thanks to a Buddhist pilgrim from China who followed the Silk Road to Bamiyan in the year 632. He wrote of the giant Buddhas that they shone with gold and jewels. At the time, the statues gazed down through a sunlit valley bustling with 10 monasteries and 1,000 yellow-robed monks. But even before the Taliban, there were assaults on the Buddhas.
Destruction has been taking place in the times of Genghis Khan. Here already, I think he was the first one who shot at the figures with the intention to demolish them at least.
From Genghis Khan and his cannons 800 years ago, the last to take on the Buddhas before the Taliban was the Emir Abdur Rahman. He arrived near the turn of the 20th century to crush a rebellious Bamiyan and then turned his artillery on the Buddhas.
Emir Abdur Rahman shot quite heavily or damaged them quite heavily. I mean, the big Buddha, even before the destruction, didn't have feet anymore and no faces anymore. This kind of destruction took place forever.
Ultimately, it took modern firepower, mortars, explosives, and anti-aircraft weapons, plus the determination of the Taliban to blow the Buddhas to bits. It's not at all clear what can or even should be done with all the pieces now being inventoried. Experts say it would cost at least $30 million to reconstruct just one of the Buddhas. Some insist that the catastrophe that befell them is now part of history, and these ghosts should remain as they are. Others argue for using an artful technique, now favored by many preservationists, original fragments are pieced together in a way that makes clear what's gone. Bamiyan's own governor would like to see one Buddha rebuilt, at least, in hopes that it will draw tourists back to the valley. In her office, Habiba Sarabi says that Bamiyan desperately needs the industry.
People are very poor. The people of Bamiyan, they don't know the value of Buddha. They're busy with how to make a piece of bread for themselves, how to fill the stomach of their children.
Now that they're gone, is it still possible for Bamiyan to have a tourist industry?
Definitely. Tourism development not only belong to the giant Buddha. The landscape of Bamiyan is very, very beautiful. And beside these two giant Buddha, we do have a lot of historical heritage.
There are enough precious ruins in Bamiyan that the UN has declared the entire valley an endangered World Heritage Site. As for the landscape that the governor speaks of, it is a ribbon of green running through magnificent mountains. Women in bright orange veils stand on the branches of mulberry trees, plucking fruit alongside roads fragrant with the perfume of wildflowers.
Oh, beautiful in the Bamiyan, okay?
That's Mahmoud Ajan, the on-site archaeologist for Afghanistan's Ministry of Culture. Just now, he's looking out at the valley as he leads us up a high cliff to an ancient passageway running behind the big Buddha, lined with caves carved by monks.
Be careful.
Stepping, this is a dark tunnel.
Let's finish this Buddha.
We have climbed up through the caves to the point where there's an opening just behind what would have been the Buddha's head and shoulders. And we're looking out across the Bamiyan Valley. And this is what the Buddha would have seen. What would these caves that we've been passing through been used for?
Basically, first Buddha was made and then These caves were made, and the close followers of Buddha would come here and worship him or watch him.
As recently as 30 years ago, the walls of these caves were covered in colorful murals painted over hundreds of years by the monks. Now 80% of the cave paintings are gone, scratched off by the Taliban or carried away by looters. But the monks may have left in Bamiyan one more great treasure yet to be discovered, a sleeping Buddha, even larger than the ones that have been destroyed. Remember that ancient Chinese pilgrim who so accurately described the giant Buddhas? He also wrote of another.
And he mentions a monastery that he visits, and within the limits of the monastery there is a lying Buddha 1,000 feet long.
A Buddha that is reclining.
Yes, sleeping Buddha. The third Buddha, the big Buddha, the very big Buddha. So the question remains, if he is accurate, why shouldn't there be the reclining Buddha? Where is he?
At least one archaeologist born in Afghanistan has devoted himself to the search, excavating a site since the Taliban fled. As for Yugi Tubekis and his team, they've now closed up as snow seals off Bamiyan to the outside world for the winter. Come spring, they'll be back to pick up the pieces of the giant Buddhas. And you can see the biggest Buddha before and after its destruction and hear other stories in this series at npr.org.